Welcome to fourthstream.com. Today we're going to talk about how to avoid living weak, lonely, and discouraged lives. In other words,
right.
How do we live lives with strength and feeling vital and connected? Like we're loved and we know how to love.
Yeah. I guess the question for today for me is, how do I feel about my overall strength? You mean, you got your physical strength, mm-hmm. your emotional strength, your character strength, being a person of your word. There are a lot of different questions when you talk about strength.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, from a physical perspective, obviously that's not going to last forever. I mean, you try to stay in the best shape
you
that
peak
you can.
And then you don't.
But what's cool about spiritual strength is that it continues mm-hmm. to grow.
Oh, when that's kind of a fun thought.
Well, when it's rooted mm-hmm. Really in the Word of God, which I think some people really underestimate Bible study, thinking in terms of it being an intellectual experience, but the reality—
Or overwhelming.
But the reality is that the Bible is different than any other book, and the Word of God is filled with power.
Mm-hmm.
And that power, you know, produces an indestructible life inside of us. So it's very supernatural.
Not only that, you don't have to go to the Word to try to figure something out. I mean, that's part of it. But the other part of it is, because it's alive, it speaks to you. And not other books necessarily do that.
Well, we talked a little bit, you and I, as we were preparing today, about how, you know, God's committed to our ultimate destination. But process is a big deal with Him. You know, mm-hmm. how we get where we're going is a big deal to God. And that's kind of what we're talking about today, because He wants us to go there strong. A verse that comes to mind right now and is in Jeremiah. You know, your words were found and I ate them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So there are spiritual realities that bring strength into our life that come from the Scriptures.
I can remember at a point in our lives, I said to you, I just want this to be done. Like... this test to be done. And your response was, God cares about where we're at right now. He cares about this process of how we get to the end. How we do this process is important. And I remember that kind of changed everything for me. Like, I wasn't in such a hurry. Well, I still didn't like where I was, but I wasn't in such a hurry to get to the end. Like there was something wrong with where I was, that the learning I had to do wasn't bad.
Well, and it's not like God is asking us something to do something that He hasn't done. And you were talking a little bit earlier as we were getting ready about that passage in Hebrews that, and the idea that Jesus prayed
mm-hmm.
and, you know, whatever we go through, Jesus has already gone through.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing to me that we kind of absorb strength when we pray. That's maybe not the right word, but Jesus prayed and God poured that strength into Him. Jesus had to be exhausted, you know, after being with people all day, being up late at night, up early in the morning. And I wonder, did He ever question whether God would show up? Maybe not in those 3 years that we really see about Him, but did He, in his maturing, did he ever wonder if God would show up? Like, I wonder.
30 years of faith that as it unfolded in his life.
Yeah. Well, he, I don't know. Did he know what it was like to have a pretty girl around that he was really attracted to?
And I would guess,
and was
yes.
vulnerable. Yeah. We don't see that in those 3 years, but he had to have gone through that.
One of my favorite verses, and I don't have it written down anywhere because I've memorized it because it relates to this. It's in Hebrews 5. It says, and it's talking about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death.
Mm-hmm.
And he was heard because of his reverent submission to the Father.
Yeah,
what
an incredible verse.
It is, and what an example for us. But it also, I mean, he was Jesus, he was God's son, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't understand mm-hmm. what we experience. In fact, there's a lot in the Scriptures that make it pretty clear that he does understand. One of those passages that ties everything together is found in 1 Corinthians 10, and it really reflects strength in the story, the way we're talking about it today.
Mm-hmm. Some of the verses, and I'm going to read one of them out of the message, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. Remember our history, friends, and be warned. All our ancestors were led by the providential cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through the waters in a baptism like ours, as Moses led them from enslaving death to salvation life. They all ate and drank identical food and drink, meals provided daily by God. They drank from the rock, God's fountain for them, that stayed with them wherever they were. and the rock was Christ.
And you know, that's really very breathtaking, because Paul is explaining the connections between Jews and Messiahs and us, Messiah and us, because we are a thread. We are a thread that is tied together with this story, mm-hmm. and all of the examples that are given in the story of the Jews.
Yeah, and I think that it's interesting to me to go, I could read that verse and understand kind of, you know, a rock is strong, it's big, it's... But then if you know the Old Testament at all, and you know that they got water from the rock.
They drank from the rock.
Yeah, that there's so much to this verse.
What's the deal with that? It's like it was a traveling rock, you know, that they drank from.
Well, and it wasn't a trickle. I mean, it...
Well, there were a lot of people.
There were a lot of people and animals.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so, and they were in a desert.
A lot of depth there.
That it goes on to say, in my version, in verses 5 and 6, this is in 1 Corinthians 10, if you're following along. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. And that's one of the things that you learn from the Jews, the people of God, and all the way through the scriptures, is that there are not very many stellar examples of people who got it right. They basically, we are people who are covered by God's grace, even though we don't get it right.
Yeah, that phrase, laid low, they really blew it. And they were defeated by their temptation. I think that's interesting. They were defeated by their temptation. And when we get to this end of the chapter, he talks about temptation.
Well, at this point, I think it's important, too, to talk about the fact that Numbers is filled with insight into what it means to be consumed by grumbling and fear. Because if you've never taken the time to nail this down and figure this out, visit the book. You're never going to regret it, because these things were written for our example so that we didn't crave evil things. They also grumbled. Mm-hmm. And grumbling was a big part of it. They looked at their lives and they didn't like how things were going. So they grumbled against God. Mm-hmm. And it really cost them a lot.
Yeah, I think something interesting that I was kind of forced to think about in light of this too, just why do I crave?
Yeah.
What is going on in me? I mean, some of it's human, but there's something I'm desiring, and I tend to not look to God for whatever it is I'm craving. I look, because, you know, everything is just so seeable.
Well, it goes so much deeper, too, than wanting something that you're not supposed to have, uh-huh. because the idea is that the craving is, you know, trying to fill the God-shaped hole inside of us with something other than God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so interesting concept. 10:7 moves on to, you need to dim the lights a little bit. Your eyes are kind of, just go ahead and turn around and hit that dimmer right there. You look like you're,
I know.
You're like the deer in the headlights.
And if I turn it down too much, you can't read.
Then I can't read. do not be idolaters. So he moves on from this craving thing. Don't be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. And this is in the context of when they built, they made the golden mm-hmm. calf. So we are supposed to choose to go the opposite direction that the Jewish people did. And that's an interesting story. I mean, again, if you have not read the story of Numbers and the Jews in the wilderness as they came out of the land of Egypt, there are so many practical teachings for us as far as our journey.
And I'm so amazed at how quickly that happened.
Yeah.
How quickly they went from, you know, following to just carousing.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So the question I ask myself there is, what do you learn about the impact of craving from this passage, and what did they crave? But even more importantly, why did they crave it? Mm-hmm. And that goes back to the idea of the God-shaped hole.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, and he expands on the idea of what they experienced. You want to read that in your version?
We must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that, remember, with 23,000 deaths in one day.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. 23,000 people among millions of people, but still probably...
That was a lot of families.
Yes.
We must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. They tried it, and God launched an epidemic of poisonous snakes. We must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. These are all warning markers, danger in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end, and we are just as capable of messing it up as they were.
Again, this is why the scriptures are so important to us, because, in fact, it says it right here, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Mm-hmm. And we're just so fortunate to have this have the pattern so clearly laid out for us, because as we walk our own journey, it's so important to learn from what the Jews experienced, as well as everything that unfolded through Messiah, as well as the church, as it unfolded as well.
I love this last part. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit, and he'll always be there to help you come through it. And I remember reading something about this one time, just how temptation, if we picture it as mountains that are completely enclosing us, mm-hmm. and the temptation is huge, and we can't get away from it because it's too high for us. But it's God who provides the escape, but we do have to choose it. And so it might just be a narrow tunnel. It's just a way out, a road out, whatever it is. But it's hard to choose that because the mountains are so big. But there is, he does provide a way of escape.
Strength in the story. There are some other things in the post that you might want to check out. One thing about Jesus in his prayer life. So you can click mm-hmm. on that down below there. Timothy got a lot of advice from Paul on some of the subjects that we just talked about. So there's a link there to studying 1 and 2 Timothy. So go ahead and check it out, as well as kind of a cool song about what it means to grow strong. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you're encouraged as you think about strength in the story. And I hope you avail yourself of just the beautiful gift of the scriptures that's been given to us so that we can have strength and we can have hope.